I just sent you a picture. If you can get that possibly to upload it, that'd be tremendous. All right, y'all lift up your Bibles. Repeat after me. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can be what it says I can be. And I can do what the Word says I can do. It's the living seed of God living in me, and I'll never be the same. Never, never, never will I be the same. God increase, pastor decrease. Give me ears to hear what God has to say. I'm going to walk with power, not let the loss get left. Amen. You guys may be seated. Amen. How many of y'all been told don't eat with your hands? Huh? Stop eating with your hands. Now, that don't mean you don't use your hands. You're just supposed to have a utensil in it. And then there's just some things you can't eat with your hands. And there are some things that requires you to use something to eat with. So God gave us serving utensils. And so if you got the text that I sent you guys about the tree being down, did I send a picture with it? Okay. You had me all up in my head like I sent people information with no picture. Okay, so the road was covered. And so one of the things that I was talking about, and I got fired up about that tree being down this morning. And I was like, man, you know what? Not today. I should have worn my Not Today Satan shirt. And I was like, oh, but that was last week. That was last week. We cooked last week. But I was like, man, nuh-uh. So I got the sign ready. I drove around. I'm all on the dirt. Driving around, went back up there, put it up, and then I started praying. Because one of the things that I thought about this with obstacles, they want to get you off what God has told you to do. And I was telling the Hobbs, I was like, you know, if I didn't stay consistent with what God has told me to do about getting up at the time God tells me to get up, what people would call religious when God is saying that's a standard, if I were to push back the time, let's say 8, 9 o'clock, they may not have that stuff removed. And I want to say that because you're not being religious when you're being consistent. You're being obedient. And too many times people say, oh, you don't have to pray every day, or you don't have to do that. That's just being religious. No, obedience meaning that God is trying to move obstacles out of the way before it hinders the whole body. And this is what I saw. This is from my car. I was parked. Well, you guys start saying, you're taking a picture, and it's just, look, it's the whole road's covered. And I thought, well, we got to have church, and we want a paved road, right? But I also remembered the missionary that said that when they were going to these places in the road, and the guy says, hey, you know, there's no paved roads, and he told the guy who said that, why don't you go ahead and stay, because if you're waiting for the road to be paved before you serve God, you're not ready. Sometimes you got to walk in rough terrain. And that's what it looked like this morning. I'm sorry. I thought I sent that to you. And then I was trying to call people, and Irene was telling me who to call. And we were going back and forth. And then I called 311, and they weren't available. These are the people that's replacing 911. I thought about coming to get my bowl, but my chef hat is at the house, so I couldn't get that. But I got in touch with the right people. And I say that, listen, if God is telling you to keep your standards, keep your standards. It'll block more than just amount of your time. It is God's trying to pave the way for everything that you need to be doing in your life. And I think about that, and Steve, I always think about the time, and I don't know if you remember this, when you flipped out on these two batters when you were doing your warm-up pitches, and they were timing your pitches. They stood on the side, and he went to the umpire, make them back up. Get those guys off. And I thought, yeah, make them back up. Don't let the enemy and evil get so close to you he can time your pitches. Now, Steve wasn't playing. Now, Steve wasn't, and I'm over there jumping because I was a character. Steve was like, get them away from me. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, if you're going to do the sermon, Steve, let's just trade. Because that is exactly what it is, right? He was about to start eating with his hands. Like, you can remove them, but I'm going to eat with my hand. Now, as a pitcher, we got one great weapon, the baseball in our hand first. So they're going to have to duck. They got duck work. And so here's what God is saying to you. Like, you need to go to the Father. What Pastor Rita was saying, when you're trying to do your relationship with your hands, and you're trying to do your stuff with your hands, you eating with your hands. And God says you should be eating with your faith. You should be eating with your worship. You should be eating with your praise. You should be eating with your belief. You should be eating with the Word of God. You shouldn't be having your hands on things that is for God's commands. When you're trying to fix it, when you're trying to eat with it, and I know the last three sermons has been about food, but the fast is over for you. And we got to understand that if we ain't letting Jesus cook, and if we're not letting him be the meal maker, and we're doing all the eating on ourselves, we're going to end up doing what we want to do instead of what the Word says to do. There is a sermon in here I'm going to get to, but the hors d'oeuvres is being served. All right? The hors d'oeuvres is being served. And so one of our things is that we need to position ourselves to let God cook. See, because if I cook on mine and I say, you know what, this tree ain't got no right to be in the road, I ain't got nothing to move that tree with. There ain't nothing the little Jeep got that we're going to pull out. Don't think I didn't think it. Don't think I didn't think I'm going to tie me a rope around it and I'm going to get it. And that tree is bigger than I am easily. So I was like, I can't move this. And sometimes you have to come to the place and not just say in the things that's too hard for you to move, but you shouldn't be moving anything without the grace of God. See, because the minute we start doing things without the grace of God is the minute we'll try to do everything without the grace of God. And so we have to stay consistent. Consistent. Well, I can handle this on my own. I don't want to handle it on my own. I want it to be in God's perfect timing. In God's perfect will. Now, Pastor Rita wasn't thinking about dating. I was like, but I was also thinking about how much I want to honor Jesus with it, right? So if choices is the one thing that keeps us from becoming a statistics, choices is the other thing that makes you become a standard. So think about the choices of what happens in relationships when couples don't pray together, the likelihood of divorce, when couples don't read the Word together, when they don't study together, when they don't have scriptures that they're speaking over each other, Bible verses go look it up. You love each other, you can be all in that, but real love is when diapers need to be changed. Good sweeping in the house. My wife loves it when I wash dishes. I washed them 3 times yesterday. Points for me. Okay, let's move on. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 8 through 13. I thought if I dressed differently, I would act better. We'll see. Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron, and this is Moses, God's talking to thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Now, God told him to do what to the rock right here? What did we just read? He told him to do what? Speak to it, right? Speak to it. Okay, just remember that. And I know there's a bunch of these and thou, so that's why I go back and make sure we don't get lost in the weeds of that. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Now, Moses sounds like he has an attitude, right? He's mad about something, because you don't just go up to people and go, you idiot. Unless you're angry, right? Moses got a command from God. The next thing we hear from Moses is anger. How many of y'all know pastors get angry? How many of y'all know mamas get angry? Daddies get angry. Brothers, sisters, they get angry. Now, again, that does not change the Word of God because you get angry. Emotions do not change what God tells us to do. So we get back, and Moses got this attitude with his church, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his hand, with his rod, he smote the rock twice. Now, he hit it. God told him to speak. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. So you think about it, when people, you say, how did people get so blessed in a church or a place where a person was disobedient? Well, God is about the people, not about the person with the title. So the water still came out. They still got water, but he got it the wrong way, and he was slowly dismissing himself from what God called him to do. He couldn't take, after he did this, he could not take them into the place he needed to take them. Got it? So you may, how you get there is just as important as getting there. So God wakes you up to pray, and he says, get up and pray, but you lay there and pray. You rock striking. Right? He tells you to be obedient. He says, go bless that person. That person needs some money. Go bless them. Oh, and I'll give them my change, but I ain't giving them my green. Well, and he says, go take that person some food. I'll give them the leftovers. I'll give them the pizza, but not the stuff we just cooked. You obeying, but the wrong way. Right? Those of us who have kids, take that trash out. Oh, and they do it, but they did it wrong. Wow, let me take that shoe money back, and we're going to go get us something to eat with a little extra. So he did it, but he did it out of order. He did in disobedience. And God loves the people because the people didn't ask for Moses to disobey. Moses was supposed to be obeying God, so God didn't ask him to disobey, so he's still going to bless the people and their beast. We will say this to you over and over again. When you give here, you're giving to God, not to people. Now, you're giving for people, but you're giving to God. Okay? Y'all got it? Got it? And God will honor that. God will bless that. God will bless that. God will do that each and every time. You hear people on social media, I ain't giving to that preacher. You weren't supposed to be. You were supposed to be giving it to God. Y'all heard them? They getting rich off us. Your $7 is not buying a Mercedes. Right? But your $7 is what you can give. When you give it to God, he will bless your whole life with it. Don't ever do. That's why she could stand up here and say, we ain't never locking the door for offering time. And we've been in churches like that. I was telling Chris and Jessica, I used to just start kicking over chairs in there. You ain't going to let me out, but you're going to have to pay for everything I mess up in here. Which is wrong. I read a book. I told it was wrong. Now listen to this. And then the Lord spake unto Moses. Now he immediately does this. He gets the results, because sometimes we think that if we do it the wrong way, we still get the results that we were asking for, that was okay with God. And God is not okay with that, because God has raised our standards. Right? And he says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Now, again, when we walk upright and we keep our standards high, we not only get to the end results, but we sanctify God in the eyes of people that watch our walk. That's why the Bible says avoid the appearance of evil. Because, again, most people will see more what's wrong with people than they will see what's right about God. And so I want them to see what's right about God. He says, you did not sanctify me in the eyes of people. And so our actions speak louder than, we say, don't have gear and no game. Kids can have the latest cleats but can't play. Gloves to catch but can't catch. And we'll tell you right now, baseball people, there are people get on that mound, and we know we're going to be out there for a while because they can't throw strikes. There's nothing worse. Somebody with no, we call it control. When you have no control, there's no defense for a walk. Zero. Control means that they're going to have to make contact. We can help you get things out. And when you make contact with God with that control, with that self-control, with that obedience to God, then there's help behind you. You have to be able to get that part. But listen to this. Moses did what God told him to do in bringing what? He brought it forth, but he did it with his hands. And God don't want us to eat with our hands sometimes. He wants us just to eat with his word. I'm going to go take care of this myself. Now, that doesn't eliminate us from being responsible, by the way. But he's saying, speak my word. As we quoted Mark 11:23 in our prayer, verily, verily, I say unto you, say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, believe that which you saith, it shall be removed. We quoted that, right? He's saying, believe the word. Now, Moses' deal was this, in Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, you go back and read that, God did tell Moses to speak to the rock. He spoke to it, water came out. But y'all know that God, when he asked you to mature in some areas, he did tell Moses to hit the rock and the water came out. But God asked you to mature. He don't want you having to put hands on everything. He wants you to start believing the word about it. Yeah, you used to have to spank your children, but now they've grown and you don't know what to do. Quit talking to them. Quit putting your hands on them and just speak the word over them. Don't y'all make me unbutton this jacket. It's hard. See, because the whole time you're trying to manipulate them and you're getting them in these spaces and you're trying to, if I say this right here, right now, to make them feel guilty, and I make them, that's your hands. Speak the word. Say, they will hear the voice of the living God. Right? They gonna hear God's voice. They will not pay attention to strangers and strange voice. I know I trained them up in the way that they should go. I know I said it. And now, but when we get in there and we start cooking with our hands, we start eating with our hands, and God is like, I can't touch it because you touching it. What say you medical people may know this one. When they put them things clear, those hard things, and why do they say clear? Do y'all know why? So nobody else dies, because if somebody is touching that body, when they put them paddles on there, they will die. When you have too many, when you have the wrong people in your life, God can't clear you out. God, do something with my heart. Get them out your life. I can't resuscitate you. You don't like worship no more. You don't like the Bible no more. You don't like praise no more. And I can't resuscitate you because they hugging all up on you. I'm talking about spiritually, emotionally, okay? I'm not talking about somebody grabbing you. And when God wants to restore us, when he wants to Psalms 51:10 us, creating me a new heart, creating me a clean heart, renewing me the right spirit, returning to me the joy of my salvation. And God, why don't I weep before you anymore? Why don't? Because you got somebody else touching you, and I can't clear you while you letting them grab a hold of your heart. You're eating with your hands. You're trying to figure me out with your hands. That is not what I ask you to do. I ask you just to believe me. Just to believe me. So Moses had it right. He did tell him to strike it before, but he said, now you should be old enough by now. I don't have to have you hitting stuff. You can just speak the word. Because, you know, we believe in the Bible. Now, if you've taken the Bible and said, oh, well, that Bible's just ancient time, it's ancient history. It's eternal. It never goes out of stock. Right? Make Away, that song, Make Away, I think I just heard it. Chandler, I think so. Man, he sang that song, and I sent it to Johnny because I went to go see Johnny, and he was telling me all the stuff, and Johnny was amazing. Now, let me tell you something. You go to hospital, you're not going to see somebody sick in hospice. You're going to see somebody with faith. That's all he was talking about. He was like, man, I know God's going to heal me. I know I'm okay. I know I'm going to be okay. And he started crying. He said, so glad to see you. Right? And I was like, I was telling Emmett, I was like, it ain't about me. He goes, no, Pastor, I'm so glad to see you. I remember all the verses. I remember all the stuff that you told us. And there are times you're thinking like, because they didn't get to come that often, especially since he'd been sick, but they still remember. Listen, if we just speak the word, they get it, man. Like, we try to do too much. We try to eat with our hands. We try to get in stuff in there. And he says, man, like he said, and then this is when I was like, this is Pastor, I'm so appreciative of you. He says, you guys are rock stars to us. And he's crying. I'm like, dude, you on a bed where they done told you they can't do nothing else. And you talking about, like what gets us to, what helps us praise? I Man, I was a hot mess. I just got in the car to get back, and I was talking to Miracle. Miracle, are you okay? Do you need to go get counseling or something? You need to go talk. But when you see that kind of faith, when you see real stuff, then Crazy Emmett goes and tell me when his dad was about to pass away and Emmett didn't want him to go, his dad, man, listen, men, if we wake up and get a hold of his dad, say, if you worried about me not going, that means I didn't do something. Like, what? I have to leave him in the kitchen. I just like, I can't. No, he left a legacy for him to live by. I'm not going to be here physically, but everything I left you is going to be in you to live. Like, what are we doing? Like, I can't eat with my hands. I can't eat sitting next to somebody that left me with a legacy. And even, that's even crazier. We've been talking to my dad last night. My dad and I, he's getting ready because he preaches the second Sunday, right? He preaches every second Sunday. So we have a conversation about what he wants to preach about. But him and his sisters and all of them remember, and Miracle was too little to remember, but when she met my grandmother, which would be her great-grandmother, she had these rings on, and Miracle was Miracle, who asked a bunch of questions. What's that ring for? What's that ring for? And she was like, you know, because my grandmother was old. But they all remembered one thing before my grandmother passed. The last event we had, she pulled me to the side and told me about staying strong in ministry. And that's all I can tell you because she told me not to tell nobody. And all of the siblings, her children, were watching going, why were you the only one she talked to? I go, I don't know, but I knew I wasn't supposed to get up and leave in the middle of that sentence. You know, she's 95, but and she was taller than me anyway. But when God is giving us something that we can live by, it's not going to always be by what we can do. It's going to be what he's done. Right? As we're changing the course, Pastor Rita and I changing the course of relationships and what we saw in our families, and Pastor Rita's wasn't that bad, and I got a better example with my stepfather, but if we're changing the course of what divorce looked like and what separation looked like and what wrong looked like, and what the one thing we could do to prove everybody wrong, because that's what they told us, you're going to get married and you're going to get divorced, and you're going to get married and you're going to get divorced, and nobody's going to stay with you and you're not going to stay with anybody. The one thing we could do was stay in the Word of God, because that was the one difference the rest of them didn't have. I know the one thing that I needed to do was fully go all out for God. If I'm going to be different, I'm going to be different. And I had to be different. I had to be different. I was like, what is that they didn't do? They didn't go to church every day. Listen, when she said we was in there every day, when we were single, we was in there every day. Every day. The studies, that's when they had Sunday night church too. Sunday night church, the Bible study on Monday. We did our own on Monday at the house. Tuesday was prayer. Wednesday was church again. Thursday was some other kind of prayer. Then when Friday went to somebody else's church, we're like, I don't want to leave no room for the enemy to get in. I want something that's going to last. And that's what we were pursuing. But we could not. We could not erase our boundaries. I had to keep my boundaries. We can't go play in marriage, and I can't go play in faith. Okay. We're talking about a rock, right? We're talking about not striking a rock. We may get the person's attention, but lose the opportunity for them to have a conversion. And so it's one thing to get somebody to come to church and we tell them to accept Jesus, and they accept Jesus, but how we got them there, if you manipulated them to get there, just give them the word. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw them in. Nobody wants to get to a place knowing you done tricked them. I thought we were having coffee. Yeah, with Jesus. Put Jesus first. I get it. You want other things, but let God be the standard. Meaning well doesn't make up for doing God's will, just because you mean well. Got to do God's will. Moses had the rod in his hand, but it wasn't part of God's plan. And what you used to do God is moving you to a new level, because always there's going to be new devils to deal with. If you stay at the same level, the devils will be able to overwhelm you. So you got to grow out, right? That's why we pass kids from elementary to intermediate to middle school to high school to college to a job. Remember how exciting your job was when you first got on it? Steve. You're like, oh, man, I don't even get tired at work. It go by so fast because you're learning new stuff, and now you done been there a while. Man, when are we getting off? It's 8:07, homie. You just got there. And what happens with same thing with the gospel, you got to stay in the word or you're going to grow out of the word that you had. You got your salvation scriptures. Great. Jesus did weep. We got it. Now what's next? What's your life verses? And then how do you apply them without you being the source of the application? When it's got to be done by faith, right? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. Verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And now how do we speak faith? Because most people are kind of, they've insulted the thing of blab it and grab it. All they do is name it and claim it. Well, you do need to name it. You do need to speak. You imagine sitting there quietly thinking your children are going to know what to do with that trash, that even though they should when it piles up. Right? Have you ever got mad about what it looked like instead of what you said? Because if you're saying what you're seeing, I'm running. I can do this. Okay? So no matter what people do to you, you're still blessed. Let me say that. Right? Quit worrying about what people trying to attack you with. If they did it through this, God will still do it through that. Okay? You're still blessed. Listen to this. Luke 7:7-10. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Now, same deal. Now we've come full circle. This centurion, not a church guy, said, Jesus, you don't have to come to my house and touch him. Just send your word. Just send that rock delivering out, water delivering out of the rock word. Just send that. And how did he understand it? Because he was under authority. When you don't know how to stay under authority, you don't know how to send God's word. You think everybody's got to come to you when God has sent his word for you. He said, I'm a man under authority. I know how to submit. So I don't like that. I remember I was just doing a wedding, and they were telling me right before the wedding, don't say the word submit. I said, you need to get somebody else. That ain't popular on wedding day. But I'm gonna say what I said. What I said. Right? I'm going to say what I'm going to say. Right? Because again, somebody thinking somebody's getting the upper hand on them. No, he says, wives submit to your husbands, husbands submit to the Lord, and you submit to one another. Ain't nobody getting taken advantage of. The only one you're supposed to be submitting to is Jesus. Now, if you're worried about saying the word submit, that means you got a hold of somebody that won't submit to Christ. Now, if they won't submit to Christ, that means you have to push away your boundaries to get them. And now you rock striking instead of just saying, speak the word. That's why sometimes I love you is not enough for some people, because they need to be hand fed. I'm so glad y'all came. I'm so glad y'all here for me. There's an understanding about authority, right? So if you can't get along with your boss and you don't respect your boss, there's going to be a matter of time before you don't respect Christ. Now, think about it. You get in the Word, you study the Word, and you say, well, I don't agree with what the Bible says. And we say this in our youth group all the time. Man, how are you going to date somebody that broke up with Jesus? And you see that girl over there? She used to date God. I ain't got no Mac for that. Conversation. Hit online. I ain't got nothing for that. She broke up with Jesus? He broke up with Jesus? They couldn't keep up with God? And all of God's words didn't matter? It's a matter of time before your words don't matter. And God was telling Moses, I'm telling you to lead people, but when you lead in anger, and let me tell you something, you have to squash whatever was done to you on a daily basis. Even though you got every right to be mad and angry. Because God can't flow through you when you're fighting with yourself. This is cool. I know y'all thinking now, I should have brought my friend. So you got to show great faith. Speak the word. Listen, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 29, they were amazed by his authority that he had in the word. Most people didn't even talk about the miracles. They were amazed about the authority that they have in the word. The first graders, second graders, third graders, kindergartners will say this to me. You must be a preacher because the way you talk. Y'all, this is the way I talk. They go, no, that little girl said, you say it with confidence. You say it like you know what you're talking about. And I didn't know if she was saying I was faking it, but I was making it. Let me tell you, you get a hold of the Word of God and don't wait till there's a crisis. Get a hold of the Word of God when it's just a regular day. Say it like you mean it. And then live it like it means something to you. Say it like you mean. Okay. In Matthew 28 and 18, he gave us authority. Now, he not only talked with authority, but he said, I've given you authority. Now, if he's given us authority and he spoke with authority, he's given us authority through his word. Now, if I reject any part of what he says, I'm rejecting my authority. Which means now God got to prove himself again to me instead of me just saying, send your word. If you really God, let me smell apple pie on the way home. Come on, y'all heard people do crazy stuff, right? Not maybe not apple pie, but the devil cooked too. You got to be careful who you let in your kitchen, right? So you're like, and y'all done seen some disturbing videos. I ain't even got to get y'all started. What the little people been cooking? They've been arrested for it. They licking ice cream at Walmart. Listen, trust Jesus and him alone. Pastor Rita will tell you in a second, I'm not her God. I can be good to her, but I can't be God to her. She has friends, I have friends, but we can't be each other's God. Now, together, we can grow in God. I remember there was a song by, Matthew. I can't remember Matthew's last name, but it'll hit me in a minute. But it was said there was three. Wes. Why? Nothing wrong with having some schooling in him. Listen, and it was talking about there's three of us getting married. And my twin go, that's appropriate. Now, he ain't know it was Jesus at the top of that triangle. But he go, what y'all do? And he was my best man. Now, Tony talking the whole time, man, what kind of song is this for the preacher? What y'all doing? I said, man, stop talking. Stop talking. We arguing while that's. And one of the things you got to understand that people is not going to understand when you want to dedicate yourself completely to God. But just because they don't understand don't mean you need to stop standing. So our goal was to be a good husband. Her goal was to be a good wife. We want to be good spouses. We want to be good to one another and good to others. We want to be a blessing. That means that we had to look to God to do it. Believe it or not, I wasn't the most loving person. I know that shocks you. I was competitive. I always wanted to compete, but God said, I need you to complete Because competing without completing is causing corruption. And,
okay.
So we will absolutely wear ourselves out trying to do all the things that God has called us to do if we're trying to do it with our own hands. Okay? So I want to live in the supernatural. Listen to this. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. I'm going to go to the highlight of this verse. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. It is the spirit of God that we can do anything. Not by might nor by power. You know as well as I do, you're going to run out of juice trying to do it all in your own strength. You're going to run out of the ability. You're going to run out of the availability. You're going to run out of the mindset. You're going to run out of the mentality. As we say all the time, we're as happy as our saddest child. The other one can be excelling, but that one, that's struggling, that's where we are. And what we have to do is we've got to learn how to be both. Oh, thank God for what you're doing. I thank God that you're going to get there. We forgot about you. You're going to get there. So he says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. The Lord is that spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 and 17 and says the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit lusts against the flesh so that the flesh doesn't do what it wants to do. When we start pushing back the boundaries, think about it. The one small thing we thought was just a simple thing, it won't send me to hell, but it's causing your boundaries to be so pushed back that you don't know where the line is anymore. Saying I'm not going to push my faith boundaries back anymore. And when I saw that this morning, I knew God wanted us to stand where we stand. All right, Matthew 26, 41 says, indeed, the spirit is willing when the flesh is weak. Let the weak say I am, and it's because of the word of God. You may not be physically, you may be physically out of it. But the God can use best the empty container, the one that he fills, not what we feel. See, now if we diluting, I don't know if this is appropriate. This is where y'all get to help me. Next Sunday, I want to preach on somebody spiked the punch. Now, I don't know how appropriate that is. But do you ever just walk up thinking you having something pure and somebody done put something in it? Ever thought you was drinking regular Sprite and got that diet? That's an aftertaste. It got the same bubbles. It looks the same. But there's an aftertaste. That's what the enemy does. He wants to look the same, but you get that aftertaste of the addiction. You get the aftertaste of a broken heart. You get the aftertaste of that really wasn't God. It never was God. And now I can't even get you from where we need to get you. One of the reasons why, and again, when I say I have an addictive personality, one of the reasons why that we pursue purity because I don't ever want Pastor Rita to be in a situation with me where she wants to help me because she's my help me, but I'm taking on something she can't help me with. When we stood at the altar and said, I'm going to help you, you're going to help me, but don't start doing something I can't help you. Don't take on a behavior. I can't help you. That breaks my heart that if you start, and no offense, but if you start smoking, I know what the end result of that. Please don't, because I can't get you out. Right? I can pray now. Now, don't get me wrong. I got that. But that's part of it. And I got to know the reason why she knows that she's always going to be hurt, and I know I'm always going to be hurt because we're always willing to hear God. Okay. Oh, man. I got one more verse. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Listen to this, Matthew 24, verse 35. It says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not. How many of y'all want to make it last forever? Speak the word. Speak the word. That's going to make it last forever. You go do it yourself. You go pull up yourself, but speak the word. It says all of that stuff is going to pass away. What do they say when new couples, they say the honeymoon is over. Right? Like heaven and earth. Oh, you make me feel like heaven on earth. That's gone. Now what? You better have a word. You better have a word because that is the one thing that won't pass away. You better have a word when she interrupts that game you want to watch. And see, that's the time she wants to talk. We done had 3 weeks. You can't say not today, Satan, by the way, on that. That is a recipe for a situation. So heaven and earth pass away, but my words pass away. Now, the only way the word can stay in you is that you keep the word in you. Right? Colossians 3:16, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you richly. So it's going to dwell in you richly. Now, they may break up with me. They may leave me. But the word is what's going to sustain me. I know you left me, but I got this thing that's making a way for me to get over this brokenness. I got a thing in me that's helping me get over this loneliness. I got a thing in me that's helping me get over this abandonment. I got this thing in me. It's called the word of God. And it won't go. It's tenacious. And the more and more I keep putting it in me, the stronger I get, the hungrier I get. Now, if you want some good hunger, you want a good appetite, eat the word. It'll make you hungry for more word. Crazy. Crazy. Let me tell you, when you got the right person cooking, and we got to go Tokyo Steakhouse on, was it Friday? I'm still on the fast. What that chef did with them vegetables, Lord have mercy. I mean, he just stuck a pile on. He said, no meat? I said, no meat. He got to say, what you going to do about rice? No egg? No egg. Just vegetables. Listen, they put a sauce together that made the, I know, it's lunchtime. You couldn't even almost see my head. The vegetables were so many. But I ate it down now. Don't get it wrong. I didn't need a doggy bag. I ate it down. The thing you think is hard for you to do in here, if you would let Jesus cook it for you, you don't need everybody's cake, everybody's candy. Y'all, it was just vegetables. I ate it like it was steak. By the way, because it was just vegetables, I got mine first. So I was halfway done before they even got their stuff. While he flipping shrimp and flipping beef, I'm like, the hard thing, the forgiveness thing that you're struggling with, will you let God cook? Let him cook now. Let him cook. The thing that you're saying that, God, am I waiting for the person you call me to? Let him cook. He can prepare for you. God, am I ever going to get over this? Yes, let him cook. Those are vegetables. Those are things that need to be eaten that's going to be better for your body. I know it tastes good to be mad. I know it tastes good to be hateful. I know it tastes good to be bitter, but it ain't what's going to sustain you. The man cooked me vegetables. And then the guy was sitting next to me. He said, don't eat your soup right away. Put that on top of the rice and stuff. Don't eat the stuff that just because it got there first. You need to put it together. Now, somebody may have hurt you first, but Jesus wants to be the one that fills you in the end. You got to let Jesus be the one to feel you, but you got to quit eating with your hand. I'm just going to go get me somebody else. That person hurt me, but I'm going to go get me somebody else. Well, you got the same thing that got you last time because you got an appetite for the wrong stuff. God wants us to work with eternal, not temporary, because the things that are temporary, which are seen, they're temporary. Things that are unseen are eternal. And you may not be able to see it, how it's going to work out now, but that's the eternal way you need to be going. That's the direction God needs us to go. Okay, Jesus didn't go grab Jesus at the tomb, and then this is it. You can go get some juice because we got 9 juices going. Jesus didn't get up and go. You can leave. I'm saying, you get the tomb. When Jesus got to Lazarus' tomb, he didn't go in there and pull him out. Why? Why? He laid hands on everybody else. Why didn't he go in there and get Lazarus out? What did he do? He spoke the word. Lazarus, come forth. Whatever dream and vision that has seemingly died in your life, it's time to speak to it. You can't go get it with your youth. You can't go get it with your, and we're tired. You can't go get it that way no more. Man, you bust about, I'm going to go all day. Now you got to speak the word and say, come forth. Come forth, and when it staggers forth, unwrap it and say, I ain't eating with my hands no more. I know I ain't smart enough to be in this position. I know I don't have enough education to have this job, but that ain't what I'm coming to you with. I'm coming to you with a word from heaven. I'm not coming to you with my ability. I'm not coming to you with that. And I didn't tell you that. I was telling my great nephew, who is one of the top football players in this little city and even nationally, but he a little bit taller than I am. You know who calls him short and incapable? Family members. I said, man, the same joker said the same thing about me. They didn't come to one game. I said, don't worry about them. They're the ones that's short because they can't see the goals that you have. He said, Unc, for real? I say, Unc, for real. Unc, for real. Now, Unc will help you fight a couple of them relatives if we need to. You know, we short. But again, as Pastor Donnie said, they don't need twin. They need a pastor. They need a pastor. Okay, bow your heads. Okay, let's go. Man, y'all made me overcook. Eating with my hands. It's your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. If you know anything about addiction at all, you realize there comes a point where no matter how hard I try, no matter what I do, I can't do it in my own strength. I know I'm supposed to turn away. There's the verse that says, I know what's right to do and I don't do it. And the thing that's wrong to do, that I keep doing. So here's my plea, here's my cry for you, is that you roll with the word of God. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is raising standards. And Psalms 84:11 said, there's no good thing that he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Now, not even just in the sense of addiction, if you got people addiction, you're addicted to people that you've abandoned all your friends, you've abandoned everything that you know, and you're so caught up. That person does not need that kind of stress in their life. They never signed up to be your God. So I'm praying you release them from your hands. You release your grip on them emotionally and mentally. Receive your freedom. Quit trying to eat with your hands. Say, God, I thank you that the word is alive in me. I thank you there's freedom in your word. There's wholeness in your word. I believe it and I receive it this morning. That there's a new me coming forth. I get the manipulation out of my heart. I'm no longer going to do that. When I see who I need to see and say what I need to say, I'm going to say it according to the word of God. And I'm going to stand on that. Because that word is what's going to get the water out, not me striking at it and hitting it. I put my hammer down. I lift my hands up to surrender to you. I thank you for providing water, listen, for my entire family. They'll never thirst for anything other than the Spirit of God. They will never hunger for anything other than the presence of God. I thank you, Jesus, that I no longer have to eat with my hands, but I can know that the word is edible. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Listen, again, we'll pray about what the other one may be. Sermon. But punch is right there. The hummus is hot. It's hot. It's not heated up. It's heated. And I'm spicy hot. Okay, it's hot. It's habaneros. Sorry. With red chilies, okay? We're good. It's a little sweet to it, so you don't know at first, but in the end, it too shall speak. But I got two more juices rather than the other one. So, again, I prayed for some mangoes, and this lady at her farm, she said, I never get them. We got mangoes. And so I got 150 or so mangoes, but I've been cutting them up and using them and giving them out and all that good stuff. So the juice has got plenty of mangoes in them. There's an orange one. And this is why I'm still talking, God forgive me, is because there's an orange one in there that's a grapefruit deal. It tastes tough, but it's best for you, okay? Just, you know how grapefruit is.